Memches Amid Aleph, in middle of the page. Okay, this is new Gemara. Okay, Amid Avchista Marukva, Amid Avchista said the name of Marukva. Mishinishtat, somebody became literally insane. Basically, they're not functioning anymore. Bezdin Yordan Lenachot. Now, like this, a guy has an obligation to support his wife, but the guy Nabuch is not well, so. He can't. So what happens? Bezdin Yordan Lenachos. Bezdin goes into his property. Vizanin Umefanis and Nesishti Ubanov Ubinesov. They support from his estate the wife and the kids. Vidovar Acha, and they provide something else. The Gemara is soon going to explain what that means. What else they provide. Okay? So this is somebody that Nebuch became not well, so Bezdin goes into the property and takes over, basically, and supports the family, the obligations. Amalei Ravina asked a question to Ravashi like this. Maishna, why is this din that Rav Chista said different than another braisa we learned? Over there, it doesn't say about a guy that went retarded. It says a guy that left overseas. Misha halach l'medina sayam, a guy went overseas, and obviously, he did not arranged. He didn't arrange for his wife to have support and everything. And his wife comes to Bezdin and says, hey, I need to live. Bezdin Yordan L'Nechasov. So listen to what it says. Bezdin goes into his property. Mefanis and his ishtei. They support the wife, but not Banav Ubenesiv, not the sons and daughters. And Leidavar Acher. Whatever the other thing that the Gemara is soon going to explain, he doesn't support. So the Gemara asks the question, why is the two different, the two dinim seemingly are similar cases, but they're not. The first case, the guy went insane, so it says Bezdin supports everybody, right? The man, the children, the kids, the everything. Yet if the guy went overseas, so then the din is, the Bezdin only supports the wife, not the kids. So like, what's the difference? Amalei, so he said to him, what's the comparison? When the guy went overseas, he knew he was leaving. He knew he was going, right? So therefore, he would have arranged, if he wanted to support the kids, he would have arranged it. The fact that he didn't was because he doesn't want to. Okay? Now, what is this talking about? No, one second. That's what I'm saying.
We haven't got to that yet.
No, there's a different din.
No, I understand.
If you remember, we discussed it. I remember it was a Sunday morning shiur this year. According to Halacha, you have to support your children until they're six. Remember we learned, over six? Okay, Bezdin says you're a bum if you don't, you're terrible, you're a rotten person, you're a rotten father. But Bezdin can't force you
support your kids over six.
Over six. Let him go out and work.
6 years old.
Let him go out and make a living.
Huh?
Now, the wife, though, he has an obligation to support. Okay, forever. So now the Gemara says like this. The guy left overseas. He left overseas. So his wife has a right to food. The kids, if they're over six, obviously the guy doesn't want to feed them. Because he went out knowingly, and he declined to leave money for the kids. So obviously he doesn't want to, so Bezdin can't do it. But the guy never became insane. It's not his fault. He probably would have wanted to, most people do want to support the kids. That's what he says. He says, Aval leshanulach, don't you see a difference? Ben yaitze ladas, when a guy leaves intentionally, if he leaves intentionally, and he decided not to leave money for the boys and girls, so obviously he doesn't want to support them. But according to this, by the way, if the kids would be under six, even the Braisa would say Bezdin would force, go into the property to feed the kids.
How do they pick out six?
Huh?
Why six?
They're old enough to go work for a living.
6 years old?
Yeah. Sigmar says, my dover acher, what does it mean that in one case, if the guy becomes insane, Bezdin makes him pay for Dover Acher and all going overseas not. So Gemara says like this, there's two opinions. Rav Chista Amar Tachshit, jewelry. Rav Yosef Amar Tzedakah, giving Tzedakah, meaning like this. Do you collect tzedakah from his property? Okay, one opinion, so it says like this. The guy that became insane, so it said, Bezdin goes into the property, okay, supports the wife, kids, and Dover Acher. They take money for this other thing. What is the other thing? Rav Chista says it means jewelry, that they'll spend money to give jewelry to the wife of the person that went Nabokov. And Rav Yosef says it means tzedakah. Okay? What does it mean? When the person has to give tzedakah, the wife, the family has to give tzedakah to be respected in the community. So then, by a guy that went insane, when he didn't know what was going on with him, Bezdin would give tzedakah from the estate also. But not for the guy that left willingly overseas, and he's not going to do it. And the Gemara says like this. It's speaking that the fields grow things, that workers, whatever, you know. Now, and again, it's the same thing. The Gemara explains like this. If a guy left overseas, okay, a guy is not obligated to give his wife perfume or jewelry. Okay? Basically, dachshit, by the way, I said it's actually perfume. Here, Rashi said the summim that they buy from the peddlers. Okay? So it doesn't mean jewelry, it means perfume. So it says like this. Normally, a guy would give money for his wife to have perfume. But if a guy goes overseas intentionally and doesn't leave money over for her, he's not obligated to give his wife perfume. So Bezdin has no right to go onto his property and give her perfume. Right? Just like his sons and daughters over six, they don't have to support. Or they don't have to give tzedakah. So Gemara just explains like this. Mandi amet tachshit, Rav Chisted, it says it means perfume, kol shekein tzedakah. For sure tzedakah is not taken from the property. Okay, because it's the husband's personal interest for his wife to smell good. But he's not interested in the community. But man the omer tzedakah, Rav Yosef, it says that tzedakah is not assessed from the guy that left overseas. Aval techshitin ye evenly. But then, listen to this. If a guy goes overseas, Rav Yosef, who says you don't give her tzedakah, but you would give her perfume when he went overseas. Why? It's not good for his wife to become repulsive. So therefore, the Gemara says, and again, Bezdin has to assume what a guy's mind wants. So according to Rav Yosef, that says tzedakah you don't give for her if the guy goes overseas, but perfume you do. Why? Because according to Rav Yosef, Bezdin assumes a guy wants his wife to have perfume. To give tzedakah not, but perfume yes.
So you need a case that Bezdin can get a gift for the wife.
No, he's speaking of not getting divorced. He just left overseas.
But it just disappears for years. A couple of years.
That's what they used to do. That's why they had different wives in different cities. No, that's what they had. They had different wives in different cities. Those days they're allowed to have many wives, right?
Yeah.
So guys would be in one country for a year, and then be in another country, and they had wives in each place. come home every so often. That's what used to go on in the olden days. Okay. Now, Amr of Chia ben Abba, Amr of Huna. Another same thing about the husband's not around. Amr of Chia ben Abba, Amr of Huna, same name of Rav Huna. Mi shahalach lam din asiyam. A guy went overseas, yeah? And his wife died. Okay? You live in California, the guy went to China for whatever, and his wife died in California. So the din is, Bez din yardin lin achasav, Bezdin goes into his estate, v'kevin and eisel lefichvedi. And they'll bury her based on his status. And the question is, where are you going to change that? But meanwhile, it means if the guy's a wealthy guy, They would make a elaborate funeral for her, even though the guy's not here. Okay, but Bezdin would do it. So the Gemara says, "Lechvi chvaydei v'lei lechvi chvada." You're telling me that if a wife has a higher standard than the man, you only do it on the man's standard? That's not what we learned before. Before we learned, a wife goes up with the husband, not down. So if a wife had a higher standard than the husband has, you would bury the wife on her standard. If the husband had a higher standard than the wife, then you'd bury her on his standard. But why are you saying only his standard, not her standard? So the Gemara says, no, Eima af lefi chvedei. Even according to status, whichever one is bigger, broader, a little more elaborate, that's the one you would give the funeral for. What's the din? And what is the teaching us? That a wife goes up with the husband. She doesn't go down with him. Even after his death. Meaning like this. There's a Mishnah that says that when a woman gets married, okay, the chid over here is even after he dies. Even after she dies. But normally the din is like this. The Mishnah says that when a woman gets married, so if the husband has a higher, like more wealth than she lives on his style. If she was accustomed to higher wealth before they got married, she keeps her status from before.
With whose money?
The husband's obligated to pay it.
Isn't that in the case that she brought her money over?
No. Nope. So it says, so the chiddush over here is that even after she died, you still give her, even according to his status or her status, whichever one is higher. Okay. And the Gemara says like this, another halacha. Amar Rav Masna Amar, oh, a guy says, these are weird things. Emesa leitik varu min chosif. What happens, the guy in his deathbed says, when my wife dies, I don't want you to bury her for my money. Shaymin lei. You listen to him. Yeah. 1 minute, what's not done? So the Gemara says, Maishno, why is this different? Yeah? The Nafla Nichse Kami Yasmin. Because it's like this. If the wife died, okay, if the husband died first, okay, because his properties, go to the orphans, and they're not obligated for them to pay for the stepmother. They're not obligated to pay. But kilei amenami, nirsi kami yasmiramu, should the properties fall to his orphans? I mean, they fall to the orphans. Why would I think that you would have to?
Couldn't the wife also be the parents of the, or the mother of the orphans too?
No, speaking that, he says, if my wife dies, don't bury her for my property.
Right.
Meaning, because it's a step, if the property goes to his kids, right, which are not her children.
Okay.
Otherwise, the kid children would have an obligation to bury the mother.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, they won't. Because the properties fall to the orphans. So even if he didn't say anything, if the husband didn't say anything,
mm-hmm,
he dies. Yeah, the money goes to the orphans. Why should the orphans have to bury the mother? What's the difference if you said it or not? Yeah, Ela'eme means like this. Ela'eme means like this. Imesu, if he dies, don't bury him from his property. And the guy says on himself that if he dies, he doesn't want to be buried. Okay, when I die, he doesn't want to be buried. Let the community pay for it. So the Gemara says, ain't shame in the dumb, we don't listen to him. That was the why. Lav kolei mena, it's not in his power, sheyasher esbonav, to make his kids rich, v'yapol atzmi al atzibon, and let the community worry about him. You know, the Gemara says like this. The guy dies, the guy's dying, a man, no woman over here in this case, yeah? The guy's dying, and he says, I don't want to be buried from my property, I want basically the community to bury me. So it says you don't listen to him, because he has no power to make his kids rich, me rich, that they don't have to pay for the funeral and make the community pay for it. There's no such thing. He brings down, by the way, that he brings down at the bottom, the biblical obligation to bury the dead rests primarily on the deceased himself, represented in his estate. Okay? When a man's burial is paid for the estate, it's like he paid his own burial. But he has no right to take that money away of his obligation to bury himself from his estate and give it to the kids. If the Itak has no money, by the way, the din is, what's called a Metz Mitzvah, they have them very often here. Somebody dies and no money for burial. Yeah? So who's, no kid, there's no money. So who's obligated to bury him? The community has an obligation to bury him.
Then he raised the money for GoFundMe page.
Huh?
GoFundMe page.
What's that?
The
GoFund.
Where they raise money for charities and things.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they have to do.
GoFundMe.
What?
The community,
Look, that's the halacha. If a person passes away and there's no money, the community has an obligation to bury him.
We had a couple of years ago on Tisha B'Av, there was a Meitz Mitzvah, and while we were there, there was another person being buried that didn't have anybody
there.
I don't know. Nobody knew about it until after everything. But I don't know if he had family here. In fact, I don't want to talk, but he had family that had money. He said he had nothing to do with him, whatever.
Who is it?
A guy. Whatever. I don't know. Okay, now the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah, the bottom of Chesed Mid Aleph. If you remember before, we learned that the girl before 12 belongs to the father. 12 to 12 and a half also belongs to the father, right?
Right.
Until she gets married. But even after the Kedushin, she still belongs to the father. When she gets married, that's when she goes over to the husband and the father has no jurisdiction over her. Right? That's what we learned before. So now the Gemara is going to discuss what is considered going over to the husband. What is considered leaving the father and going over to the husband. So the Mishnah says like this. La'elam hi b'shusav. She's always in the domain of the father. Achi tikonis l'shus ba'al nisuyin. And the Gemara is going to discuss what this means soon. Until she goes into the husband's domain to get married. Simply, when she goes to the chuppah. That's the simple meaning of the Mishnah. Okay? Even by kedushin, she still belongs to the father. Now, what difference does this make? Okay, there's a number of differences that we need to understand. What this din is, who cares if she's a husband or who cares? Okay, so there's a number of few things over here. Let's say the din is a Bas Yisrael who has Kedusha with a Kohen. Now, wife of a Kohen eats Truma. Right, the wife of a Kohen eats Truma. A girl that had Kedushin to a Kohen. So one of the things the Mishnah is saying here, she still belongs to the father, meaning he's a Yisrael, she's a Yisrael, right? She cannot eat Truma. Until she gets married to the Kohen. Okay, but after she's fully married. Okay? And even then, or even monetary things, the father gets it and not the husband. Because she's not married yet. It's only after the chuppah. Okay? Now, Masarav l'shluchi abal, what happens if the father gave her over to the husband's agents who was going to take her to the new house? Okay? Meaning like this.
Without
Nisuyan. Well, one second, we're going to see what that means. Okay? The chosin, they live in a different city, right? So the chosin sends shluchim to bring the bride. As soon as the father gives her over to the shluchim, she already leaves the father's domain
And now she belongs to the husband.
She's supposed to be with the husband anyway?
They're not married yet. She's going to get married.
Engaged. Going to the wedding.
Or, Masir av l'shluchi abal, harei hi b'shus abal. Then she's under the husband's domain. Okay? Even more so, if the husband brings it to, the father brings it to the husband's house, then for sure, it belongs to the husband. What happens,
when she gets to the husband's house?
When she gets to the husband's house.
Okay.
But in this case, we're going to see, it's not chuppah. And the Gemara is going to talk about, because it doesn't say she had chuppah. It just says that the agents come and take her to the groom's house.
But shouldn't he take her,
go ahead. Yeah,
chuppah
you're talking about.
Well, today it means as soon as the video guy comes, then it's good.
Yeah, okay. Today is a different situation than years, than 2,000 years ago. Because today it wouldn't happen.
What do you mean wouldn't happen?
Wouldn't happen today.
Because today kedushin and marriage is done simultaneously.
Yeah.
Okay, but those years they did kedushin 12 months before the marriage.
But it says here, okay, whatever.
And the girl's marrying a guy that lives in another city.
So he has to bring in, he has to have agents bring
in. Not Adam, messengers.
Messengers.
Yeah.
Messengers. He has to have messengers bring this girl over to the city?
Yeah.
Without even having married her yet?
Yeah, to get her to get married in his city.
Why can't the family come along with her?
1 minute. So what happens? What happens if the father went together with the shluchim of the husband? Or or the father's messengers went with the chassan's messengers? She's still in the domain of the father. The fact that the father went, in other words, like this, if the chassan sent messengers, and the father gave her over to them, he's out of the picture. But if he goes with them, he's still in the picture. Until she gets to the guy. What happens if the father's agents gave the girl over to the husband's agents? Then b'shus abal. Meaning, what happens if they live in L.A. in New York, okay, and they don't want to travel. So the father sends messengers to send the girl to Chicago, and the husband sending the guys to Chicago to pick up the girl.
Many agents.
The agents to pick up the girl. To bring her back to New York, yeah? So you have L.A., New York, I picture Chicago is the middle, but more or less. So the father sends shluchim with the girl from L.A. to Chicago, and then the husband sends guys to bring her from Chicago to New York. So the last part of the Mishnah says, as soon as the father's agents in Chicago gave her over to the chassan's agents in Chicago, it's considered the husband already. It's considered the husband's domain. Okay, so this is what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah says, starts off with the interesting statement. La'ilam, she is always, for always, in the domain of the father, unless into chuppah, or the father gives her over to the messengers of the husband. Yeah? So Gemara says, what does it mean always? The Mishnah could have said a simple statement. Instead of l'olam, the Gemara could have left out the word l'olam, which means forever, and just say, he b'shus ha'av, the girl is in the domain of the father until the husband gets her. Why does it say l'olam? So Gemara says, la'fuki mi'mishna rishenu. The word always, to reject an early opinion in a Mishnah somewhere else. What does that mean? The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, where is this Mishnah? It's further on in the Gemara. He gives man vali nisai, eichelis mishalei veichelis bitruma. It's an interesting Mishnah later on. And the Gemara says, our Mishnah refutes that Mishnah. Which means like this. What happens if they make up a date to get married? Remember, we learned. January 1st, 2017, they get Kedushin. We give her a year. Okay, I'm using Goyish dates. January 1st, 2018 is the time of the wedding. Right? What happens if January 1st, 2018 comes and the husband says, I'm not ready to marry you yet. I'm not ready. My tux is not ready. So the din is, the Mishnah later says, as soon as January 1st, 2018 comes, the husband has to support her, and if he's a kohen, she can even eat truma. But even though they're not married yet.
But can she change her mind?
No, kedushin she would need to get.
Oh, man. Well, that's the old days. It wouldn't happen today.
Okay. So then, so that's what the Mishnah says. Higiyas man, that's what it says later. If the time came, okay, that they made up to get married, and they weren't married yet, and it's because of the husband, not because of the woman. They eat the husband's foods. And if he's a kohen, they could eat truma. Okay? So, that's what it says over here. Kamash malan la'ilam. That our Mishnah says, no, that's not halacha. That was what was initially done. The halacha is that she's always, meaning even if the date came and they didn't get married, that's what the Mishnah is adding with the word la'ilam forever. Always. That even if the date came and they didn't get married, she still cannot eat truma, the husband doesn't have to support her, she's still in the domain of the father until the husband actually marries her. That's what the Chiddush of our mission is. Okay, now,
but it says here, just contrary to what I was taught in the early mission, the whole of Israel is betrothed to, come and never get to eat truma during her betrothal period. Even at the time designated for her new cousin has passed.
What were you reading?
The last 48B, what is this? B1.
Yeah.
No. I'm looking at the Gemara. Okay, Gemara.
You're jumping the gun.
We're not there yet. Oh, okay. We're not at the Gemara yet. I thought we were. Okay.
No.
You're at the beginning of the Gemara.
Yeah, we're at the beginning of the Gemara, but not...
not where you are.
So in other words, the reason why our Mishnah says that forever she's in the domain of the father, what does it mean forever? That even if the date already came for the marriage and they didn't get married, she's still under the father's domain, not the husband. Not like the Mishnah that says later. That was the earlier way of doing it and not the proper way of doing it. Now, that was the sage's original decision. Then they changed the mind.
So the husband doesn't have to support
him. Right. Unless if they actually get married.
Does it say what happens if this is in reverse? If the father is the kohen, and she...
Well, yeah, it's the same din. That because she's still under the reshus of the father, she can still eat truma. Yeah.
And then as soon as she leaves the house...
Finished. Right. Now... We need to understand this for the Gemara coming up also now, and also to understand this better. Biblically, once a girl has kedushin with a kohen, she could eat truma. Biblically. She could, even from the kedushin. Chachamim came and said, no, you gotta be married. Why? And the Gemara later gives two reasons. Number one, if she had kedushin and they weren't married, she may possibly, and let's say she's getting married to a kohen, right? So she's eating, during the year, she's already, like biblically, she can eat truma. What happens if the guy annuls the wedding? That means retroactively, she was not allowed to eat truma, and they ate truma. Now, how can a guy nullify a wedding? You can't just annul a wedding. The answer is, what happens if she had a blemish that he didn't know about and she didn't tell him? Undisclosed physical defect, because it would be revoked. That means this, that she ate truma this past year, was a sin.
What if she has a blemish that is not fit to marry a coin?
That would also be, that's also a blemish. Another reason, there's another reason, by the way, after chuppah, you can't annul the marriage, because then the husband would have seen the undisclosed defect on her, he would have known it. She has a physical defect that's covered with her clothing, but then the husband would know it after they got married. So then he can't annul the marriage. But before the marriage,
she tell
could,
him?
Huh?
She has to tell him. She?
Well, she didn't tell him, but.
Well, that's a problem.
1 second. The second reason, it's an interesting reason also. Why did a chacham say a girl have to kedushin cannot eat truma? Very simple, interesting reason. She's still living at home, right? If she's going to eat truma, she'll give it to the family.
Yeah.
And the family are Yisraelim, they're not Kohanim. So there's two reasons. Another min ha-Torah, a girl after Kedushin could eat truma. She has Kedushin with a Kohen, she's called this property already, so to speak, she can eat truma. Chama say no. Number one, they might annul the marriage. And if that happens, then she ate truma in sin. Or a second, more practical reason is she'll give her family. She's still living with them. She'll give it to them. Okay. What? So now the Gemara says like this. The Mishnah said a din. Maser av l'shluchi ha-baal. If the husband gave her over to the messengers of the Baal, Harehi b'shus ha-baal. And that, again, this is very important to understand. The Mishnah doesn't say that they had chuppah. This part of the Mishnah says, as soon as the husband, the father, as soon as the father gives her over to the husband's messengers, she belongs to the husband. Correct? But they didn't even have chuppah yet. The fact is, the father gave her over to the shluchim of the husband. Right? So the Mishnah says, Harehi kabal, b'shus ha-baal. So Rav says, Mesiras l'akil, she is completely, in all respects, except truma. She can't eat truma. Again, for the two reasons we said before. Because technically she can still live at home. Okay? Or because he might end up annulling the marriage. Ravasi Omar, in other words, like this. As soon as the father gives her over to the shluchim, our Mishnah says she belongs to the husband. Right? So Rav says for everything except truma. She can't eat truma. But what does it mean she belongs to the husband? The earnings she gets belongs to the husband. Whatever she finds goes to the husband. It's mamish like the husband is married to her. Okay? He inherited property. It's interesting. If she dies, if he's a kohen, he could become tamei for her, for his wife. All these things like this. Okay? Except, Rav says eating truma not. Ravasi Omar, Ravasi holds, nope. Afle truma, even for truma. Okay? She can eat truma. What's the issue over here? So again, this is dependent. What's the argument? Rav says she cannot eat truma. Right? When the father gives her over to the messengers of the husband. So Rav says she cannot eat truma. And Ravasi says she could eat truma.
What happened to Leolam?
No, Leolam, the Gemara said before, there's not that, that until she gets married.
Right.
Okay, but now the Gemara said, but then the Mishnah says another statement. If the father gives her over to the messengers, then the Mishnah says she goes into the husband's domain, not the father. Father's out. Right? So Rav says, for everything except truma. And Ravasi says, even truma she could eat. Right? Now why? So what's the argument? The Mepharshim explained very simple. Rav holds, why can a girl not eat truma, even though biblically she could? Rav holds because he might annul the marriage. So if so, even if the father gave him over to the shluchim of the husband, he could still nullify the marriage. He could still annul the marriage. Then retroactively, she's eating truma in sin. Ravasi says, no, that's not the reason she can't eat truma. She can't eat truma because she might give her family. Right? But once she's already gone to the husband's house, her family's not there anymore. So what are you afraid of? She's going to give her family? She left her family. She's gone. She's not going to eat it. So this is the difference that we just explained, how the Mepharshim explained the difference between Rav and Ravasi. Ravasi says, he says like this. That's Rashi explains it. Rav holds she cannot eat truma, even though for all the other financial things she belongs to the husband. Not only that, if she dies, and he's a kohen, he can even become tamei for her, even though they're not married yet. Because now she left the father, she's in the husband's domain. Rav says though she can't eat truma. So Rashi explains why can't she eat truma? Like we said, because Rav holds the reason is he might find a mum and annul the marriage and retroactively disqualify the kedushin. That means all this time she ate truma against halacha because she's not a kohen. She's a Bas Yisrael. Even though they already left the father's house and he went to the husband, but until they have chuppah, they could do it. Ravasi, Rashi explains, holds no. The reason why the Chacham said she can't eat truma, because she might give it to her father, or to the family. But the father and the family are not here anymore, so therefore she can eat truma. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, Eisi Ravun Ravasi, Ravun asked the question to Ravasi. Or some people say, Chia asked, Barav asked to Ravasi. Okay? It says, she's always in the domain of the father, until she goes to the chuppah. That's not our Mishnah, by the way. Our Mishnah says, Achitichonis l'shus habal. But another Mishnah, and it's interesting, our Mishnah doesn't say what the Gemara says it says. If you look in our Mishnah, okay, at the bottom of the previous page, la'elam hi b'shus ha'av ad she'tikonis l'shus habal l'nisuyin. Okay? Which means, as the Gemara interprets it to mean, ad she'tikonis l'chuppah, until she goes to the chuppah. Right? Which means that she can't eat truma. How could Ravasi say she could eat truma? Our Mishnah says clearly, until there's chuppah, she's still by the father. So how could she eat truma? So Amar Lahu, so he answered him like this. Lavamina Lahu, didn't I tell you? Leitez l'basir ipcha. Don't learn something that can mean something opposite. In other words, say like this. Yochel ishnui lechu, Ravasi can answer you, what is mesirasa, when it says, when the father gives her over, okay, to the chosin, that means knisasa lechupa. It means she goes to the chupa. Not that he gives her over to the husband. What does it mean? He's defining. What does it mean in our Mishnah? That he gives her over to the husband? Even chuppah.
Means chuppah.
Or it's equivalent to chuppah.
It just play with words, that is when you give it over.
That's what he says. You're asking a question, you're learning the Mishnah, defining the Mishnah the wrong way, you're translating the Mishnah the wrong way, and you ask a question. So he said, why are you asking a question? Learn it the right way, define it the right way, meaning like this. What does it mean, chuppah? That's what he's saying. What does it mean, application of chuppah means transferring the woman into the reshus of the husband. That's what it means. Now, what could be the reshus of the husband? Just sending with his agents could also mean that. In other words, Rav Asi learns that just like when the guy has chuppah, right, just when there's a chuppah, it means she's completely into the husband. The same thing when he gives her over to the shluchim of the Baal, that means giving her over completely to the husband. He's defining giving her over to the agents of the husband as chuppah. So he says the same thing. Okay. Now, what does this mean? Now the Gemara is discussing more different opinions about this whole thing. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says like this. L'rir Shasa. That what does it mean, the delivery, in reference to what? That the husband inherits her. But, Shmuel says in everything else, she doesn't belong to the husband. Shmuel is really completely different. Rav says, before, yeah, there's a bunch of opinions now coming up now. Rav says, she belongs to the husband, except for Truma. Rav Asi says, even for Truma. Shmuel says, no. She only belongs to the husband that he inherits her, but for nothing else. And Rabbi Shlakish says, luksubasa, that she gets a ksuba. And the Gemara is going to ask, ksuba, what does it mean? The mesa, yadusta, that if she dies, the husband inherits her. Hainu Shmuel, that's what Shmuel said. Amaravas, Ravina says like this. Lemet means, what the Rish Lakish meant was, ksubasa me'achemana, that if the groom dies, okay, if the groom dies after the husband gave her over to the messengers of the Baal, the husband sent messengers to get the girl, yeah? So it says, if the husband sent her with the messengers of the husband, the din is that if that husband died and she wants to marry somebody else, her ksuba would only be like a non-virgin kala because she's a widow. That's what I mean. That's what Reish Lakish means for the ksuba. The only thing it does according to Reish Lakish, in other words, like this. Our Mishnah said the husband gives it over to the guys of the messengers of the husband. Yeah? What status does she have now? So Rav says before in the Gemara, all monetary things she belongs to the husband except Truma. Rav Asi says she can even eat Truma. Okay? Shmuel says is a third opinion. Shmuel says the only things that she belongs to the husband for is if she dies, the husband inherits her, but nothing else. The Shlakish says that about the ksuba. What do you mean about the ksuba? So the Gemara thought it means that if she dies, he inherits her, so that's what Shmuel said. So the Gemara says no. What it means is, what it means she's considered married? She's not. She's considered married as far as a ksuba for the next husband goes. Okay? They didn't get married yet, but the father sent the girl with the messengers of the husband. Before they get home, or after they get home, before they have a chuppah, the husband dies.
She's not considered a petula anymore.
Even though they didn't have chuppah yet.
Right.
The next ksuba for the next husband will be only 100 zuz instead of 200 zuz.
Even though she's still virgin?
Correct.
But she's blemished because she's divorced.
Widowed.
The guy died.
Oh, widowed.
In other words, the Gemara says like this. If a girl had Kedushin, and then the guy dies, her next husband, she gets 200 zuz. Or if he divorces her after the Kedushin, and she remarries somebody else,
still 200.
She still gets 200, because she's still a virgin. What our din over here is saying, that because the husband gave it over to the messengers of the husband, so even though the husband died, the father gave it over to the messengers of the husband, even though the husband died before the chuppah, she is considered married, that the ksuba for the next husband is only 100.
That's halacha gab according to.
Because the din is, by the way, and the quote is at the bottom here. If a guy married a woman, and you know they didn't have relations, okay? And then he dies. Yeah, crazy example. They have a chuppah, yeah? Before anything happened, the husband died. They were not together. She's still a virgin. Her next ksuba is 100, not 200. She's still a virgin. But after the chuppah, so what the Gemara is saying over here, when the father gives it to the shluchim of the baal, of the husband, it's like chuppah, that for the kedushin ksuba she's not a virgin anymore.
And that's the halacha.
No, these are the different opinions in the Gemara.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
But does that opinion end up what halacha is, or?
Is it halacha? I don't know yet. No, it's not, because the Gemara is going to refute all of these.
Okay.
The Gemara is going to bring down one case, that there's another few more opinions, and the Gemara is going to tufta the kula to all refute it.
Okay.
No, but we're not done yet in the opinions.
Okay.
Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Chanina, Damir Tavaya, Rabbi Yechon and Chanina both say, they hold mamish like Ravasi. Remember we said Ravasi, when the girl goes, even for truma she could eat. So that's what's in the Yechon and Chanina hold. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Maisi, I'll ask you a question. And this is cute, the way the Gemara is going to ask this question and refute everybody, except one. Maisi, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braise, not in our Mishnah, it says in the Braise the following. Holacho avim shluchi abal. The father accompanied the messengers of the husband. Or, Shaholchu shluchi avim shluchi abal, the messengers of the father went with the messengers of the husband. Or, Shahoy saloh chotze baderech, or if the bride had, there was a trip, right? So they used to have hotels along the way. The bride owned a residence on the way. They were going from the girl's home, right, to the husband's house, yeah? And nichnasa imay lolin, she went in, not to be together, to rest overnight. Yeah? Even though the ksub is in the husband's house. Okay? Which was already given to the chosin before. Mesa, if she dies, avia yarsha, the father inherits her. Okay? So it says here clearly like this. If the father goes with the shluchim of the baal, even if they slept in the same house, the boy and the girl, not together. They slept in the same house. Yeah, and even though the husband already has the ksubah, which was already written, the dowry and all that stuff, if she dies, the father inherits her.
The house belongs to who? Doesn't it make
now sense? Belongs to the father.
No, the house.
The house?
The house that they're staying in on the way, it's the girl's house?
The girl's, but because they're not married and she dies,
okay,
the father now has it.
Okay.
Not the husband.
Right.
Okay. What happens if the father didn't go? Until now we said the father went with them, or the messengers went. What's the other case?
And the father gets the ksuba
No, the dowry, yeah, he's going to get everything back. Maser avlo shluchei abal. What happens if the father didn't go along? Until now, the case was the father went along, right? What happens if the father just gives her over? Or shemaser shluchei avlo shluchei abal. Or shahayse loichatz abadarech. The husband had a house on the way that he slept in. V'nichnas ha'imei l'shem nesuin. And they went in. They didn't live together, but they went in with the intent of marriage. Afal bishuk subasa bevesavia, even though the ksuba, let's say, is still by her father. Mesa, if she died, by lo yorsha. The husband gets it. Yeah? Now, bamedvar mamurim, lo yirushasa. Only with inheritance the husband gets it. Right? Afal truma, as far as eating truma goes, ein isha echeles betruma ashi tichonis luchuba. She can only eat truma if she actually has chuppah. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. What does the Braisa say clearly she gets, the husband gets? Only inheritance, nothing else. Okay? What does this Braisa say? Bamedvar Mamur, what does the husband get? Only her Yerusha. Right? But truma not. Now that refutes, and the Gemara says Tshuvta the Kula, the Gemara says Tshuvta. Why? Because one opinion says that, the only one that, by the way, doesn't refute is Shmuel, because Shmuel says Yerusha, she gets. Okay? But Rav says, here, Rav says she gets, the husband gets everything. Obviously here, the Braisa says it only gets Yerusha. Ravasi says even Truma, the Braisa says clearly she doesn't eat truma until she gets married, even if the husband has her already. All the opinions of the Gemara are completely refuted. Even Reish Lakish's Ksuba one is also refuted. Everybody's refuted. The only opinion, according to Rashi, that's not refuted is Shmuel, who says the only thing that if the father gives her over to the husband, to the shluchim, what the husband gets is inheritance, nothing else. So the, again, that din is refuted also. Batik Suba. Until the girl is actually chuppah, she still gets 200. If there's chuppah, they weren't together, and then he died, when she marries somebody else, the ksuba is only 100. Okay, we'll leave it here.